Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, May 10th, 2024. Section A. Energy industry tells its story. The Texas Tribune held a discussion at Odessa College's Salisbury Campus Center by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Odessa. A frequent suggestion for the energy industry is for it to do a better job of telling its story. Wednesday, the Texas Tribune did just that, hosting a discussion on the Permian Basin's oil and gas industry. Moderator Carlos Nogueras Ramos, the Tribune's Permian Basin reporter, noted that West Texas plays a crucial role in the nation's search for energy independence and sets the tone for energy production, and pointed out Texas supplied 42% of the nation's crude oil in 2023. The reality is, if you look at the Permian Basin, it's both West Texas and southeastern New Mexico, so it's 46 to 47% of the nation's oil, said Stephen Robertson, executive vice president with the Permian Basin Petroleum Association. Last year, global energy demand reached record highs, he observed, stressing that included all energy, not just oil and natural gas. There's no dedication to one form of energy, no addiction to oil and gas, Robertson said. We need oil and gas not because we're addicted to it, but because we appreciate the quality of life it brings. We appreciate the opportunities for growth that it allows. Savannah Morales said she sees those opportunities firsthand in her role as Chief Executive Officer of the Midland Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and as a community volunteer. She said she sees how the industry gives back to communities in the form of school supplies and school uniforms, in the form of support for small mom-and-pop businesses. They bring in jobs, they bring in tourism, they let people become entrepreneurs. They have a huge impact on how we operate daily, she said. The opportunities are great in the industry. You can start out at entry level and work your way up to chief executive officer. It opens up career pathways. She appreciates, she said, how the industry works to make it safe to go to work, how they're improving technology and work to bring our loved ones back home. Catherine Zimmerman, Decarbonization Director for Americas at Wood, said thoughts about energy should include two topics, energy security and access to clean, affordable, reliable energy, and energy transition. She urged against picking winners in an energy transition. And rather than moving away from fossil fuels, she advised, focus on the emissions, not the fuel. The industry needs to find a way and is working to develop technology to capture those emissions, whether methane or carbon dioxide or other greenhouse gases, and do so in a way that is not only technically viable, but economically viable. Just as Permian Basin operators figured ways to produce unconventional shale oil and natural gas without using significant amount of fresh water, chemicals, and expensive propants, she said they will figure ways to capture greenhouse gases. What the industry needs is to attract that next generation of entrepreneurs, of mavericks, who think outside the box, to help create ways to capture emissions, to help create ways to treat produced water so it cannot only be reused in oil and gas operations, but outside the industry. Robertson said he sees the industry not at a turning point, but at the next step. The reality is we've been in energy expansion since the 1850s, and that will continue, he said. The reality is we have to be more efficient at the energy we produce and how we use it. While the U.S. population has more than doubled since 1980, he said usage has only risen 29%. I think my worry is when people say we need to turn away from hydrocarbons, they're really saying turn away from humanity, turn away from providing a better quality of life, turn away from providing opportunities, he said. What I want us to do is work together to make the industry better, to capture CO2 and find ways to use it or sequester it properly. ExxonMobil holds Introduce a Girl to Engineering Day by Ben Schaefer. ExxonMobil encouraged Midland ISD girls to consider a career in engineering during Introduce a Girl to Engineering Day on Wednesday at the Petroleum Museum's STEAM Education Center. ExxonMobil employee volunteers welcomed over 80 Midland ISD women junior high students, a program designed to inspire young women to consider careers in engineering. More than 16,500 students across the U.S. have participated in ExxonMobil's event since the program's inception in 2003, according to a press release. Women account for 15% of the engineering practice, according to the Society of Women Engineers. ExxonMobil is proud to support the next generation of women in STEM through our Introduce a Girl to Engineering Day, Shane Large, ExxonMobil's Permian Basin production manager, stated. The need to engage girls in STEM education and eventually careers in those fields is critical. Employees led the students through a series of problem-solving activities and hands-on interactive experiments. Students learned how creativity can be used in the classroom and how proficiency in science, technology, engineering, and math subjects can lead to rewarding careers in engineering. The students conducted a variety of experiments that explored the basic concepts of engineering, added Large. We hope that today's activities helped to spark an interest in science and engineering. YWLA teacher wins HEB statewide teaching prize by Ben Schaefer. Amanda Byers, an eighth grade teacher at Midland ISD's Young Women's Leadership Academy, YWLA, received HEB's Rising Star Excellence in Education Award May 5th in Houston. The 22nd Annual HEB Excellence in Education Awards granted $480,000 in total cash awards to 6 teachers, 2 counselors, 2 principals, 2 school districts, 1 early childhood facility, and a school board for being among the best across the state. Byers won the Rising Star Award for Texas Secondary School Educators. According to HEB, this award honors an exceptionally promising teacher with less than 10 years of experience in the profession. Byers won $5,000 for herself and a $5,000 grant for Young Women's Leadership Academy. Byers recalled that someone in the community anonymously nominated her for the award. She was invited to apply, and HEB judges began narrowing down the group through several rounds before Byers was named a finalist for the award. I was named a finalist. They came to my campus earlier this school year, and they brought the HEB people and surprised me with my students and gave me a big check and such, she said. HEB defines its own regions for the competition, and Byers was the finalist for the North Texas region, which Midland is incorporated into. She was then invited to Houston, where she participated in a final 40-minute panel interview with judges. She attended the awards dinner and learned she had won the award following the dinner. "I was in shock," she said. "I know that everyone there was really amazing. The other finalists were phenomenal. They all did really great things for their school and have done really great things. I was in disbelief, honestly, that I was chosen amongst such an elite group of people. I was also really proud to represent my school so well because I love my school." She said the award is evidence of the impact that educators at YWLA commit to each day. "It feels good to affirm the awesome work that's happening here at this campus, and it also feels great to represent the network. So we're a part of the Young Women's Preparatory Network, and they support us, and it's amazing to get to represent them as well." Byers said her ability to be resilient and overcome challenges makes her successful as an educator. She works before school, after school, and on weekends. In the classroom, she said she tries to foster relationships. "The highest thing I value is positive relationships with my students, not just academic relationships, but also getting to know them personally, getting to know about their extracurriculars, things they enjoy, helping them in other ways outside of the classroom through the other things I do at school as well," Byers said. Among other local honorees include Veronica Stapper from Glenmore Elementary School in San Angelo ISD, who received the Lifetime Achievement Elementary Award. Plainview ISD was the lone school board across the state that received the school board award. It received a $25,000 grant for their district. Live tribute for Friday, May 10th. Jimmy Lorand Miller. Jimmy Lorand Miller, age 89, of Odessa, passed away May 1st. Visitation will be held May 10th at Texas and Clement Church of Christ, 1201 South Texas in Odessa, from 6 to 9 p.m. A funeral service will be held May 11th, also at Texas and Clement Church of Christ, starting at 1 p.m. Interment will immediately follow at Sunset Cemetery, 6801 East I-20, Odessa. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com. West Nile virus detected in Midland County by B.K. Richter. As the weather begins to warm up in preparation for summer, the presence of mosquitoes can be widely recognized. Recently, the City of Midland Health Services confirmed the presence of the West Nile virus in Midland County for the first time this year. According to Dr. Whitney Craig, the City of Midland Health Services manager, Midland Health Services places mosquito traps throughout the county, and the Department of State Health Services laboratory tests the mosquitoes for diseases. During a press conference on Wednesday, Craig said the mosquito surveillance program began last year. "We felt like it was important to do this type of surveillance so that the community is aware. Now, when it comes to public health, we are the preventative arm," Craig said. Craig provided tips for preventing the spread of West Nile virus. "The three things that I would like for the community to to remember is if you are outside, then wear long sleeves, wear pants, and make sure that if there's any sitting water, that you dump it, she said. So if there is a tire or a bucket or a wading pool for your puppies, make sure you are dumping that water. Ensure that it is not sitting around because that creates a breeding ground for mosquitoes. Craig also stressed the importance of residents using a mosquito repellent that is backed by the Environmental Protection Agency. While she urges Midland residents to take preventive measures, she does not want to discourage people from enjoying the outdoors. I don't want people to be afraid to be outdoors, she said during the conference. It's not something that I want people to be scared of, being outside. It's just the awareness. Craig also asked that residents be mindful of their surroundings and of their time spent outdoors. This notification is just to let the community know that it's out there, she said. As far as preventive measures, the Texas Department of State Health Services offers the same tips as Craig. Wear long sleeves and pants. Create a barrier to mosquito bites by covering up. Apply insect repellent. Use such as those containing DEET, picaridin, IR3535, oil of lemon eucalyptus, paramethane, diol, or 2-undecanoate, or EPA-registered repellents. Remove standing water. Emptying water that accumulates in toys, tires, trash cans, buckets, clogged rain gutters, and plant pots will deny mosquitoes a place to lay their eggs and reproduce. Cessna 172 stalls and crashes near Sky Air Park by B.K. Richter. A pilot reported that his Cessna 172 plane stalled Wednesday afternoon, which resulted in a crash at a field near SkyWest Airport. A preliminary report from the Texas Department of Public Safety revealed that the pilot was flying for the American Patrol out of Midland. The pilot was identified as 34-year-old Q. Johnson of Midland. The pilot was not injured, and there were no injuries reported at the scene of the crash. The crash scene was secured for the Federal Aviation Administration. No other property damage occurred from this incident, and no further information is available. An investigation into the crash will be conducted by the FAA. The reporter Telegram reached out to the FAA for comment regarding the incident, and a statement for the incident was released. Quote, a single-engine Cessna 172 crashed in a field near SkyWest Airport in Midland, Texas, around 2:20 p.m. local time on Wednesday, May 8th, the press statement said. Only the pilot was on board. The FAA and National Transportation Safety Board will investigate. The NTSB will be in charge of the investigation and will provide further updates. End quote. Top weekend activities in Midland. Arts, Tea, and the Theater by B.K. Richter. From participating in an interactive arts class, to indulging in sweet desserts with mom, to taking in community theater, here are three things to do in Midland this weekend. Make a mess, drop-in class. The River Fine Arts, located at 4400 North Big Spring in Midland, is hosting a drop-in class Friday from 10:30 till 11 a.m. The class is for ages 3 to 5 years old and costs approximately $10 per class. This class is considered to be a messy, hands-on arts and craft experience. Participants are welcome to take their creations home and leave the mess in the classroom. Class passes start at $100 per month. Reserve your spot by calling 432-262-0298. Mother's Day Tea and Cake Decorating. The Golden Whisk, 3211 West Wadley in Midland, is hosting a Mother's Day tea and cake decorating event from 3 to 4:30 p.m. Saturday. This is an all-ages event and is said to be perfect for mothers and children. Participants are encouraged to call the shop to reserve seats at 432-262-1041. The cost is $50 per party. There will be a selection of finger sandwiches, scones, desserts, and teas served to guests. Everyone will decorate a Mother's Day cake to take home and enjoy. The Play That Goes Wrong. The Midland Community Theater, 2000 West Wadley in Midland, will be hosting a performance Saturday from 7:30 till 10 p.m. The play is based upon a dramatic society embarking on producing an ambitious 1920s murder mystery. A hilarious disaster ensues, and the cast starts to crack under the pressure. Can they get the production back on track before the final curtain falls? For ticket information, visit https://mctmidland.org/productions/2024-season/the-play-that-goes-wrong/. Mainly Midland. Annual Movies in the Park schedule released. This is the launch of a weekly column called Mainly Midland. This column offers a list of weekly news and events compiled from the Permian Basin. If you have news to share, please email mrt_news@hearstnp.com. By B.K. Richter. City of Midland Parks and Recreation Department. Parks and Recreation Department to host annual 2024 Movies in the Park season. Details. The City of Midland Parks and Recreation Division has announced the 2024 Movies in the Park series. This summer, 7 movies will be shown. The first movie will be shown at Centennial Park, 200 West Wall, May 17th. The movie being shown will be Elemental, PG. Each movie will start at dusk. Don't forget your lawn chairs. Other dates and locations for the movies will be June 7th, Wonka, PG, at Dennis the Menace Park, 2201 West Indiana. June 14th, The Super Mario Brothers, PG, at Hogan Park, 1201 East Wadley. June 28th, Wish, PG, at C.J. Kelly Park, 5500 League Drive. July 12th, Trolls Band Together, PG, at Hill Park, 1301 West Cuthbert. July 26th, Migration, PG, at Washington Park, 1803 East Indiana. August 9th, Kung Fu Panda 4, PG, at Centennial Park, 200 West Wall. West Texas Symphony. West Texas Symphony Chamber Chorale's Spring Recital. Details. The WTS Chamber Chorale's Spring Recital, titled Resonating Faith, Choral Prayers Across Diverse Divinity, will be performed Sunday, May 19th at 3 p.m. at Westminster Presbyterian Church in Odessa. Tickets and info are available via their website at wtxs.org/concerts/chorale-spring.html. Niña Hispana of the Permian Basin Pageant. Inaugural pageant to take place at the 37th Annual Mextex Family Fiesta at the Midland County Horseshoe. Details. The Midland Hispanic Chamber of Commerce reminds the public that registration is still open for the inaugural Niña Hispana of the Permian Basin pageant, scheduled to coincide with the 37th annual Mextex Family Fiesta. This event plans to celebrate the cultural richness and beauty of young Hispanic girls in the Permian Basin region. The event is slated for Saturday, June 8th, starting at 11 a.m. at the Midland County Horseshoe, 2514 Arena Trail. Contestants for the pageant are encouraged to register promptly to secure their spot in this unique cultural celebration. The Niña Hispana of the Permian Basin pageant offers three distinctive divisions tailored for different age groups. Division 1, ages 5 and 6, Division 2, ages 7 and 8, and Division 3, ages 9 and 10. While registration remains open for all divisions, there is an urgent need to fill three remaining spots in Division 2. Participants will receive comprehensive pageant training, a professional headshot session, and an official pageant shirt to commemorate their involvement in this special event. Winners in each division will be crowned and awarded a trophy along with the grand prize of $500 in cash. Those interested in participating are encouraged to act swiftly to secure their place in the pageant. Entry forms and further details can be found by visiting the following link, https://form.jot-form.com/240389031161146. The Mextex Family Fiesta features daytime Hispanic cultural entertainment, a cornhole tournament, local mascots, a children's area, food, arts and crafts vendors, and an evening concert featuring top Tejano artists. The Mextex Family Fiesta, now in its 37th year, is the result of those efforts and has evolved into the Permian Basin's largest celebration of culture. To learn more about the Mextex Family Fiesta, visit https://midlandhcc.com/mex-tex/.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Permian Proud. 19 Midland College student athletes honored for advancing to next level. May 7th, 2024 by staff report. 19 Midland College student athletes were honored by their school today as they plan to continue their athletic careers in the NCAAs and other universities. They represent MC's volleyball, softball, baseball, golf, and basketball programs. Each year, we have the opportunity to see a number of our student athletes commit to four-year universities in their post-MC athletic careers, said MC Athletic Director Forrest Allen. It's a very proud moment for Midland College. We are tremendously proud of our students and of the coaches who recruit, train, and lead our students to excellence in each of our six sports programs. We wish each and every one of these young people the very best at their next stop. Volleyball, Angeli Sanchez, San Antonio, Texas, Sol Ross State University, NCAA 2, Lone Star Conference. Natalie Hernandez, Monahans, Texas, Sol Ross State University, NCAA 2, Lone Star Conference. We're very proud of Angie and Nat moving on to the next level, said MC volleyball coach Tammy Jimenez. They are the caliber of players who will help elevate the program at SRSU, and we are confident they will be impact players. Softball, Jordan Weston Scow, Austin, Texas, Concordia University, Texas, NCAA 3, American Southwest Conference. Azalea Ramos, San Antonio, Texas, Texas A&M International University, NCAA 2, Lone Star Conference. Madison Stewart, Wolf Forth, Texas, Midwestern State University, NCAA 2, Lone Star Conference. Over the past couple of years, these three remarkable young women have made an incredible impact on our program, said MC softball coach Angelica Castro. Witnessing their progression to the next phase of their college journey fills me with immense pride. They leave behind a void that's hard to fill, but it's been a privilege coaching each one of them. Baseball, Carson Laws, San Antonio, Texas, Texas State University, NCAA 1, Sun Belt Conference, Justin Rumfield, Denton, Texas, University of Texas at Arlington, NCAA 1, Western Athletic Conference, Xavier Melendez, Odessa, Texas, University of Texas at Arlington, NCAA 1, Western Athletic Conference, Holt Gibson, Lubbock, Texas, Stephen F. Austin University, NCAA 1, Western Athletic Conference, Matt Guthmiller, Omaha, Nebraska, Tarleton State University, NCAA 1, Western Athletic Conference, Golf, Oscar Holm Bredkjær, Denmark, University of San Francisco, NCAA 1, West Coast Conference, Logan Zern, Grapevine, Texas, University of Texas at San Antonio, NCAA 1, American Athletic Conference, Tom Watson, England, University of New Orleans, NCAA 1, Southland Conference, Jack Cubitt, South Africa, Friends University, NAIA, Kansas Collegiate Athletic Conference, Men's Basketball, Bryce Moore, Chicago, Illinois, Academy of Art University, California, NCAA 2, Pacific West Conference, Jaron Cook, Dallas, Texas, University of Texas at Arlington, NCAA 1, Western Athletic Conference, Women's Basketball, Savannah Goodson, Richmond, Virginia, Virginia State University, NCAA 2, Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association, Luisa Endereg, Germany, Pacific University, NCAA 1, West Coast Conference, Frank Kraus, Germany, Multnomah University, NAIA Cascade Collegiate Conference. For more information about the Midland College Athletic Department and all things MC Sports, visit www.gochaps.com. Listen to this story at 2 p.m. daily via the Recording Library of West Texas radio station at www.recordinglibrary.org livestream. New MCUTPB pathway aims to address need for local educators, May 8, 2024, by staff report. A new partnership between the University of Texas Permian Basin, UTPB, and Midland College, MC, aims to address a growing need for local teachers. The MC to UTPB education pathway will enable students to earn their associate's degree at MC and then seamlessly transfer to UTPB to earn their Bachelor's of Arts in Education. In their last semester at MC, students will be admitted early into the bachelor's program at UTPB. The new pathway aims to streamline the process so educators can get into classrooms quickly and to provide them with a robust support system that shares data and measures student progress. On May 7, 2024, the two institutions signed an agreement to establish the pathway. The UTPB and MC education pathway allows us to meet students where they are and have a clear pathway from high school straight to their career, said UTPB President Dr. Sandra Woolley. We are committed to graduating the next generation of educators who will inspire, innovate, and shape the future of education. In 2022, MC opened the MC Pre-K Academy and Center for Teaching Excellence to train early childhood educators and prepare local children for kindergarten. To learn more about the MC to UTPB education pathway, visit midland.edu/beateacher. Listen to this story at 2 p.m. daily via the Recording Library of West Texas radio station at www.recordinglibrary.org livestream. OC baseball coach Curtis Lay to step down after 10 years, 300-plus wins, May 8, 2024, by staff report. After leading Odessa College to more than 300 wins, 7 postseason trips, and multiple national rankings, head baseball coach Curtis Lay announced he will step down at the end of the season, his 10th at the helm. Coach Lay said it is time to see what life holds outside of the game of baseball. I've been blessed to have the opportunity to come back and coach at my alma mater, he said. I would like to thank Mr. Baker, the administration team, and most of all the players and families that have supported me throughout the years. OC Athletic Director Wayne Baker praised Coach Lay's accomplishments. Under Coach Lay, over 80 student-athletes continued their academic and athletic careers. Mostly notable 2022 Golden Spikes Award winner Ivan Melendez, who began his collegiate career at OC in the fall of 2018. 8 of his players became professionals in the sport. He led the 2020 Wranglers to a 21-2 season, during which they were number 6 ranked in the nation, according to the NJCAA. The 2017 Wranglers finished 46-13 and with a number 1 national ranking. That year, the team won OC's first Western Junior College Athletic Conference Baseball Conference Championship since 2000. Coach Lay's tenure also saw the transformation of Wrangler Field. Prior to becoming head coach at OC, Coach Lay was head coach for 3 years at Frank Phillips College, leading the Plainsmen to 2 of the most successful seasons in the program's history. In 13 seasons as a head coach, Coach Lay's record is 407-294. Listen to this story at 2 p.m. daily via the Recording Library of West Texas radio station at www.recordinglibrary.org livestream.
Casting call issued for Paramount Plus series Landman. Paramount Plus is coming to town to film for its series Landman, and they are looking for extras. This will take place during Permian High School's spring black and white game on May 16th. Brock Allen Casting is seeking people 17 and over. The casting call will be at Ratliff Stadium, and shooting will be May 16th, and those who turn out must be fully available. The daily rate is $90 for 8 hours guaranteed, $11.25 an hour with time and a half after 8 hours. Travel and lodging is not provided. To submit, email baextrassubmissions@gmail.com with the subject line football game with your full name, contact number, confirm availability for shoot date and fitting date, city of residence, height and weight, clothing sizes, jacket, shirt, pants, shoes. 2 recent color photos, 1 headshot, 1 full-length photo. UTPB's Small Business Development Center awarded 2024 Excellence and Innovation Award. The story was written by guest contributor Alexandra Messia, special from UTPB. UTPB's Small Business Development Center has been awarded the 2024 Excellence and Innovation Award for SBA Region 4. They were awarded by the Northwest Texas SBDC Network for UTPB's commitment to the communities they serve. Region 4 includes all areas of Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Louisiana. Quote, "I think it is a tribute to the SBDC team, not one individual. It is also indicative of the commitment that UTPB has for the SBDC and the role that we play in economic development," said UTPB SBDC Director Tyler Patton. SBDC is a part of the College of Business. The center works with business owners and prospective entrepreneurs to start, expand, and grow their small business. Quote, "The support of UTPB, the Northwest Texas SBDC Network, and the Odessa Development Corporation have been key to the success the UTPB SBDC has achieved," said Patton. Annual Go Red for Women luncheon to feature Mrs. America, lots of information. The annual Go Red for Women luncheon is coming up May 8th at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center at 305 East 5th Street with a variety of panelists and speakers. Sydney Gore is the chair of the committee organizing the event, which will include speaker Regina Stock, Mrs. America 2023, and MC Stephanie Rivas, general manager of the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Stock will talk about what it takes to become a Mrs. America and the health journey she has gone through as a cancer survivor. Panelists will be Dr. Catherine Hutton, assistant professor of obstetrics and gynecology, Assistant Clerkship Director, OBGYN, and Regional Director of the Laura W. Bush Institute for Women's Health, Dr. Stephanie Kubatchak, Board Certified in Internal Medicine, Dr. Manohar Anjirakula, Board Certified in Cardiovascular Disease and Interventional Cardiology, and Chelsea Porter, Founder of Porter Wellness Functional Medicine Consulting. For tickets, visit tinyurl.com/3THK67FZ. Gore said many committee members have been on board for many years. Her mom, Jackie, was chair when she was younger. Quote, I got her to come back, so I got to see her go through all of the Heart Association and Go Red events, and I brought her back to help me this year, Gore said. We also got my sister involved, so Hannah, she's at Sewell, and she got to help out this year as well, Gore said. She and her sister grew up going to all the health fairs because her mom was with Odessa Regional Medical Center and Medical Center Hospital. Jackie Gore is now Vice President for Community Engagement and Partnerships at University of Texas Permian Basin. Quote, we grew up around all of this and going to the Heart Walks, said Gore, who is Marketing Manager at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Previously, she had been at Complex Community Federal Credit Union. Gore is in her third year on the Go Red Committee. Quote, at Complex Community, we were very involved with the Heart Walk as well as Go Red, so I sat on the committee for Complex Community, she added. Her grandmother had a heart attack when Gore was in high school. Lots of other health issues came up after that, so she has a soft spot for heart health and women's health in general in the Permian Basin. She added that it would be very beneficial for people to attend. Quote, we have a great lineup of panelists this year. They're going to talk all about not just women's health, but health in general. There's also going to be Chelsea Porter. She's a pharmacist, so she's going to talk more on the medicine side. There will be a lot of great things. The Odessa Fire Department is doing hands-only CPR, so you can learn CPR while you're there as well, Gore said. Booths from Medical Center, Vision Fitness, Kendra Scott Items, and Physician Information will be available before the program starts at 11:30 a.m. Additionally, the American Heart Association received a $227,000 grant from the FMH Foundation in early 2024 to fund a health hub inside the Reeves County Library, City of Sundown Library, and expand services in the Jeff Davis County Library. The health hub will include telehealth capabilities with the necessary medical devices. Gore said they began working on this luncheon right after the one last year ended. Along with Gore, those serving on the committee are Nicole Forbes, Complex Community Federal Credit Union, Hannah Gore, the Sewell Family of Companies, Jackie Gore, UTPB, Soye Lara, Red Pixel Marketing, Jennifer Leha, Medical Center Health System, Reagan Paquette, Odessa College, Susan Thornton, Medical Center Health System, and Jessica Zuniga, Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. Quote, we are looking forward to the event. It's been a long time coming, getting all of the sponsors and everything, and then we'll also be celebrating Medical Center's 75-year anniversary. They're the big sponsors every year, and so we'll be able to help celebrate their big 75 years this year, Gore said. UTPB and PSP Forge Path for Aspiring Healthcare Professionals with $25,000 Scholarships. The story was written by guest contributor Alexandra Masia, special from UTPB. UTPB has partnered with Permian Strategic Partnership, or PSP, to cover tuition and mandatory fees for undergraduates majoring in nursing, pre-med, pre-dental, pre-pharmacy, and other pre-health-related fields. Students who qualify for the PSP scholarship can receive up to $25,000 in scholarship funds over 4 years. Evelyn Beebe is a recipient of the PSP scholarship. She is a nursing student at UTPB who plans to graduate in the spring of 2026. She says the funds have been both an honor and a blessing. Quote, "Hopefully, it will allow me to graduate debt-free and pursue further education without financial constraints," said Beebe. Transitioning from a small school district, the small class sizes and extra attention from professors have made her feel at home. Quote, "Everyone at UTPB is beyond welcoming, helpful, and encouraging. Your professors want you to succeed. They are there to help you along the way," said Beebe. To further support our hospitals and clinics, all recipients must agree to work for 3 years in the Permian Basin upon graduation in their health-related field. Beebe hopes to work in the NICU in the Permian Basin, fulfilling her commitment. Quote, "I personally love these criteria of the scholarship because I want to stay in the Permian Basin and be close to my family," said Beebe. Both of her parents are nurses. She says the scholarship has given her the opportunity to follow in their footsteps, putting her love for the field into action. Quote, "The PSP scholarship requirements promote commitment, provide incentives, and minimize financial worries for students applying to the nursing program or going into another pre-med field," said Beebe. Nursing major Emily Gonzalez is also a recipient of the scholarship funding. She plans to graduate in the fall of 2026. Quote, "Being local and born in West Texas, the benefits UTPB offers students are excellent and unmatched compared to other universities," said Gonzalez. Gonzalez plans on receiving her registered nurse certification upon graduation and working as an RN in the Permian Basin. Her passion for nursing stems from that of helping those in need, something her parents instilled in her at an early age. Quote, "My dad is currently a sergeant in the Kermit Police Department, and my mom worked as a police officer for 5 years for the Monahans Police Department, so I have always been surrounded by a family who aims to protect and serve our community and make a difference as a living," said Gonzalez. "Nursing is just one way to make a difference in this world, and I plan to be part of its future," end quote. "We are eager to grow the next generation of healthcare providers in the Permian Basin, thanks to the support from the Permian Strategic Partnership. The 2024-2025 PSP scholarship deadline is Wednesday, May 1st.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, May 24th, 2024. Religion. Jesus appeared as fourth man in the fire. Ministers say story shows necessity of building faith, by Bob Campbell. The story of the fourth man in the fire in Daniel 3 is instructive of how Christians should respond to pressures to surrender their faith and the rewards that God will bestow for resisting them. The Reverends Don Kaywood, James Cosentino, and Mark Rusink agree that the fourth man who appeared in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, or Jesus before he came to earth in the form of a human being. The major thing is that all of us are tested in life, said the Reverend Kay Wood, pastor of Odessa Christian Faith Center. Jesus is obviously that fourth man. He is there with us every day because Hebrews 13:5 says he will never leave us or forsake us. He will aid us and eventually deliver us. The story is one of Kay Wood's favorites, he said, because it shows the power of faith. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God, he said, adding that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew what the consequences would be when they refused to worship the 90-foot-tall golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had built. They were ready for whatever tests came into their lives, Kay Wood said. He said there is an earlier appearance of Jesus in Genesis 18, where three men visit Abraham on their way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. One of those men is Jesus, who stayed there to minister to Abraham while the angels went on, Kay Wood said. The major takeaway is that if we trust God, he will keep us safe and deliver us no matter what we face or what we go through. We are a spirit being. We have a soul and live in a body. We can't yield to the emotions and negative things. We have to be strong in the faith or the flesh, the carnal mind, is going to find us. The Reverend Cosentino, former pastor of Greenwood Baptist Church, who now leads the First Baptist Church in Socorro, New Mexico, said the fourth man was more than an angel. It was God himself who was present with them in the furnace and proving his faithfulness to his people. God is going to remain with them even in trials and persecution, he said. People around the world face death for standing up for their faith in Christ, knowing that upon physical death, they immediately come into the presence of God. Citing Philippians 1:21, Cosentino said, "To live is Christ, and to die is gain." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told Nebuchadnezzar, "We will not serve your God or bow down to the image you have set up." We may face persecution and personal rejection. People may laugh at us, and we might lose reputation in the community. One day, that persecution might lead to us facing death. But we have to remember that God will have the final say. The Reverend Rusink, pastor of Westover Baptist Church, said Jesus' example should be inspirational. Even if we do die on earth, we have the security of Christ who died in place of us, Rusink said. The Lord God is the one to be worshipped, not an earthly king. No matter what an earthly king does to people, God is over that. He rules and reigns not only over that king, but all the kings of the earth. He is the ultimate king in that position of authority over all things. Rusink said an earthly king can be a man or something else that people worship, like themselves or their material possessions. We, as Christians, need to be proactive toward God and build our faith now before we get to that point where we are going to be pressured, he said. Spring is Here, by Dr. Jimmy Braswell, chaplain for Home Hospice of Odessa. I had a great surprise the other day when a gardenia plant I have been growing for a year had its first bloom. Oh, so fragrant and beautiful. I like the color white. It is one example of a very productive spring this year. The Floribunda roses are blooming abundantly, and even the wildflowers seem to be cooperating in coming out in magnificent colors and quantities this year. Though the weeds are producing as well, even they have their color and beauty. It seems to be the promise of a very fruitful year, with the fruit trees and I'm sure other plants following suit. I've always enjoyed the beauty of plants and the cycle of change. The promise of God is that all these cycles and seasonal changes will continue until the end of time. They are a reminder and reflection of the glory of God, His call and promise to us, and the eternal nature of the creation of God and the eternal beauty of His creation. I'm really enjoying all of this. I hope you are too. Look around. There's beauty to behold. Features from the Bible. Truth in Scripture. Ahijah speaks against King Jeroboam. 1 Kings 14. King Jeroboam's son, Abijah, became ill, and Jeroboam sent his wife in disguise to Ahijah, the prophet at Shiloh, who had told Jeroboam that he would be king over Israel, and inquire about what would happen to Abijah. Ahijah recognized Jeroboam's wife as soon as he heard her footsteps, because the Lord had warned Ahijah of her coming. Ahijah told her to go and tell Jeroboam that he had done more evil than all who lived before him, that he had made for himself other gods, idols made of metal, and that he had provoked God to anger and thrust him behind his back. Ahijah said that God said that because of this action, he was going to bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam and would cut off from Jeroboam every last male in Israel, slave or free. Dogs will eat those belonging to Jeroboam who die in the city, and the birds of the air will feed on those who die in the country. The Lord has spoken. Ahijah told the mother of the sick boy that she should go back home, and that when she set foot in her city, the boy would die. Ahijah's message continued, "All Israel will mourn for him and bury him. He is the only one belonging to Jeroboam who will be buried, because he is the only one in the house of Jeroboam in whom the Lord, the God of Israel, has found anything good." Ahijah continued by saying that the Lord would raise up for himself a king over Israel who would cut off the family of Jeroboam, and that the Lord would uproot Israel from this good land that he gave to their forefathers and scatter them beyond the river, because they provoked the Lord to anger by making Asherah poles. As soon as Jeroboam's wife stepped over the threshold of the house, the boy died.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.